Bring it back, Jose. Bring it back. Bring it back. Hey, choir, bring it back. Let's go. Bring it back. Bring it back. I'm not starting. Bring it back. Let the redeemed say so. Let's go. Thank y'all. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's do a moment of silence for the flood victims, families, and all those who are left to rebuild. Amen. Giving all honor to God, to Pastor Robinson in his absence, fellow laborers of the word, Ebenezer Church family, visitors and guests, on behalf of the Team West machine. It is an honor and a privilege for us to stand before you this morning and preach the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to dedicate this sermon to Brother Joseph Cook and the late Deacon Austin Campbell. Come with me to the gospel according to John, chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem and at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man by committee. As our church marches towards the selection of its new pastor, it is a good reminder for members to understand that the hiring process is two-sided. The first side of the process is the most familiar side, which is the employer interviewing a candidate for a position within the business or organization. The employer can ask questions about the candidate's work experience, subject knowledge, work ethic, teamwork and team building skills, and financial and criminal background. The candidate is offered the opportunity to affirm their strengths and willingness to learn and grow. They explain their confidence in carrying out responsibilities and negotiate salary range, benefits, and opportunity for growth. Conversely, the second side of an interview is the candidate interviewing the employer. This side is often overlooked because a candidate is so excited about the potential job that they fail to approach the interview through the lens of a mutual conversation. The interview is a meeting to assist two parties, the employer and the employee, in building a case on why they should or should not begin a partnership. Most employers interview candidates from a position believing that the candidate should be honored to work at such a well-respected and historic organization. However, the candidate must be confident, not arrogant, in his or her ability to not only do the job well, but to exceed expectations. The employer is as much under the scope as the candidate. The candidate should cross-examine the employer at the end of the interview by asking the employer, "How would you describe the team dynamic here? How is success measured? Or what's one thing you wish you knew before joining?" Let the church say amen. Likewise, in the workforce, the people in our scripture lesson interview the master and declare their belief after witnessing his power. But after conducting his own interview with their hearts, Jesus decided not to commit to them. Let us dig into the mind of God through the word. But Jesus did not commit unto them because he knew all men. Jesus knows himself very well. In today's psychological language, they would say he has a full sense of himself. He knows he's fully human. He eats, drinks, sleeps. He comes from a long family line recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. He is fully divine. Well, in the beginning of this chapter, John opens with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is not ashamed of where he comes from. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He knows that a prophet is only without honor in his homeland. He knows his power. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles. A sense of himself. We all need to have a good sense of ourselves. It builds confidence in decision making. It builds resilience, and it helps to have purpose. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. When you know who you are, you do not commit to everything and everybody. We were working with one of the twins about idioms. And an idiom is an expression that communicates a lesson. You know, it's raining cats and dogs. But Jesus also knows that he is not going to commit to someone who's not committed to him. So birds of a feather flock together. It breaks your heart when you see people who've been in leadership in politics or an organization and they find themselves around the wrong crowd. It's even worse when you come into the church, you see somebody who's doing well, trying to do the right thing, and they hook up with a believer who speak with forked tongue or throws a rock and hides their hand. Jesus said, these people, these believers draw near me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from it. But Jesus did not commit unto them, because he knew all men. Our Sunday school lesson the other week, for those of you who did not attend, July 6th, was about gardeners and builders. And it addressed some practical matters in the church. Jesus prayed. He said, I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Paul had a plea. Don't fall victim to jealousy or tear the community apart. But look at everything through the one lens, the focus. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people, but like unspiritual people, like babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink instead of solid food because you weren't up to it. Now you are still not up to it. Because you are still unspiritual. Jesus knows our heart. And we have to be careful thinking we can trick the Lord. We got to be careful with that. Because where our heart lies is really our action. See, we get so good at what we do. You know, it's good to act churchy. It's good to act churchy. You get a couple sayings, hallelujah, amen, brother, sister. But the Lord knows our heart. And these believers just saw the miracles of the Lord. And they believed. But their heart wasn't right. For these are the same people who were in the temple buying up all the merchandise. If you just hop, skip back a couple of scriptures, you will see that Jesus had to turn over some tables, had to drive some people out who were selling in the temple. And so, what are we focused on? Why do we come to church? Why do I come to church? Where is my commitment? Commitment. There's a difference between duty and commitment. Many times we come because of duty. It's the right thing to do. The Lord says to come to the house to worship. But that's not a commitment. See, duty is based on requirement. Commitment is a choice. Duty is an obligation. Commitment is dedication. Duty is mental. Commitment is behavioral. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, for he knew I was talking to Pastor Robinson, and he says, man, we gotta make sure that people know you preaching. I said, no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Because today is about Ebenezer La Familia. In other words, Michael Corleone says, today we settle all family business. For 10 years, I have had a spiritual gag order on me. The Lord would not allow me to say certain things to direct and help, correct. And I say, Lord, something's wrong. He said, don't say anything. This is inappropriate. Don't say anything. I don't let nobody talk to me like this. Don't say anything. I don't let nobody treat me like this. Don't say anything. Honor, commit to my will. And I'm telling you, if God has something for you to do, commit. Honor and obey. You're going to cry. You're going to find yourself locked in the bathroom, wrestling with the Lord, trying to figure out why. But it's God's will. God will do what God pleases. But the good news is, if you just hold on a little longer, it may be a year, maybe 5 years. Maybe in my case, it would be 10 years. God will release you from your gag order. You know, a committee is a group that is selected out of a larger body. And that larger body is together based on a commitment. So the committee is a breakout group that is designed to come together based off the commitment of the larger group. It's gotten quiet in here. And when I or anybody else joins a committee, I have to put my personal commitments to the side and honor the commitments of the larger body. So when I get a call from somebody on the committee asking me to approve something that is not appropriate, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. So, how can we help the community if we're not committed at home? We're all, you know, people, everybody has their wants. Everybody has their desires. It's hard to be on the committee when you're trying to filter everybody's suggestions. And if you got to complain about everything, you should have put your name in the hat. But like the people in the scripture, we tend to be a little fickle at times. It's good to be honorable and have integrity when everybody's watching. But what happens in the shadows? The phone calls, the emails, those conversations, it pulls us away from our commitment. So every now and then, got to turn over some tables. Every now and then, you got to just open the door, and if people got to leave, let them leave. It doesn't feel good, doesn't look good, but there's plenty of churches around. This is Ebenezer. Now, I don't know about Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. I go to Ebenezer. My wife told me, I looked at her. I'm going to move on. She told me, and I love it because this is about communication. So Jesus is not committing because he doesn't have anything in common with the people. The root word for communication is common. So when we struggle to have communication, we got to find commonality. And in the church, Jesus is what we have in common. My wife told me, now I would recommend all preachers or future preachers and even speakers, look, don't bring your family up unless it's positive. Just saying. She says, Wes, there's a lot going on. Take it easy on them. And that's a blessing. That means she cares not only for me, but for the church. Is that things can go way off real quick when you start digging in and trying to find a word. But things need to be done in love. That's the struggle that Jesus has with these new believers. It's different when you say, or I say, I believe versus I love you and I'm committed to serving for something greater than myself. So why wouldn't Jesus commit? Well, he was already committed. Just like the committees we have on earth, there is a divine committee. We call it the Trinity, or the three in one. This committee created creation out of nothing. This committee created you and me. This committee met one day, said, you know, we got to find a way to help our creation commit. What can we do? How can we help? Well, let's send commitment down. That's a good idea. So what I'll do, rather what we'll do is, we'll wrap commitment in flesh. And so commitment was born in a manger. Commitment grew and learned and studied and honored his mother and father, brothers and sisters. Commitment. Commitment then, at the beginning of the second chapter, reveals himself for the first time with his power by turning water into wine. Commitment is getting older. So he goes to the temple, sees that others are not committed. Gets to this point of healing and teaching and commitment, is upset that others are not committed like commitment. But commitment continued down the path towards the cross. Because we cannot stay committed without accepting commitment. So in the wisdom of God, commitment hung, bled, and died. Stayed in the grave. Rose so that anyone who accepts and believes and commits to commitment will have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you need all of those to commit. You need all heads of the three to commit. Worship is not church. Worship is when we come and offer to the Lord. Church is when we come to be somewhere. But when you're committed, Sunday morning, something happens to you. You get a little stir in your spirit. Because the Lord helped you make it one more week. And you know that God will honor your commitment. And I just want to encourage someone today to commit. Commit. You know, the church, and I'm not just talking about Ebenezer. I'm talking about the church ecclesial. We're not the only ones going through this. It's all across. Because one of the reasons is we are so focused on people coming to Jesus Christ, looking to be baptized. That's only a part of it. The other part is we need to have people recommit. When's the last time you committed? Recommitted. And say, Lord, forgive me. When's the last time you asked for forgiveness? About a year ago, I had to recommit. Because committing to a person cannot actually take place without a commitment to something greater. See, I can't help to be a better husband, a better father by just committing to my wife or our children. I have to commit to something greater. I have to commit to the marriage. I have to commit to our union. And in our belief, it was done under the Lord. So even the Lord. If you don't get it, you can watch it back on YouTube. So the Lord didn't commit to the people because the Lord was honoring his Father. It's something greater. We got to go higher. We got to be lifted. We got to transcend. And we can only do that when we commit. And so my word for you today is commit. Or recommit to the Lord. Because our hearts are so full of darkness and experience. Yeah, we may have moved further than where we were, but where we should be is much further. But we can make it if we commit. Amen. Amen.